Great. There's a buzz in the system. It's you, Franz. But thank you, everybody. It's great to be here. And it's great to see some people smile in church. Because, you know, sometimes we get so serious when you come to church. But, you know, it's actually such a joy to serve God and to know Him. Would you agree with me? Yes. There's nothing like being in the Word of God and doing God's will, knowing what His will is and actually doing that. And I want to encourage us today. I'm not one of those preachers that preach to your head. I want to get to your heart, okay? And so I trust we want to open up our hearts to receive from God, because I cannot give to you what God can give to you. I cannot do in your life. I can do nothing. It's only God that can change us. It's only God that has eternity in perspective. So when He deals with us, sometimes we, like my little three-year-old son, we expect something to happen and it must happen right now. You know, like he does. The other day he was standing in the kitchen with his little plastic gun, and my wife walked into the kitchen and he said, "Hands up." And she went like this, and he said, "Give me ice cream, give me ice cream." You know, but it was like 6 o'clock in the morning. So the ice cream, there's still something wrong with this stuff, but I'm just going to go on my, at least I've got a voice that can carry a little bit. Okay. So sometimes we expect something, God, you must give it to me now, you must do this right now. But God doesn't work like that. God has got eternity in mind, and I trust that this morning we'll enter into eternity and we'll lock into God's ways of thinking. Because God is really interested in what's going on in your heart and what's going on in my heart. God wants to do stuff in you, and when He looks at us, He's not issue motivated. Must I speak a little bit slower with my accent? Okay, I've got quite a flat accent, okay? I can't speak up there like some of the British people speak beautiful English. I speak like flat, you know? But the most amazing thing is when God looks at you, He's not intimidated by the things that must still change in your life and in my life. God looks at you and He looks at a person through the finished work of Christ. And the moment when we say yes to the work that Christ has done, He says He removes our sins as far as the east is from the west. Meaning He forgets your sins. So sometimes we come into His presence and then we say, "God, please, you know, I'm such a bad person because I did this wrong last week." And then you repented of it last week. And then God says, "But what are you talking about?" It's not on His agenda anymore, because He's forgotten, He's forgiven you. Says He's removed our sins as far as the east is from the west. So are you ready to receive from that God this today? Not from me, but from His word that is eternal. We're going to pray. Is that all right? Are you excited to be here?
Yeah.
I am very excited, okay? Great, let's pray. Father, what an awesome opportunity to come and worship You. What an awesome opportunity, Lord. And a place, Lord, where we can literally, Lord, just kick out our shoes and take off our shoes, Lord, because we're sitting and standing on holy ground. Lord, we're not here because of religion. We are here because of relationship with the living God. And we thank You for that freedom this morning. A freedom, Lord, to receive from You, but also a freedom to give to You. And Lord, we open up our hearts this morning because we know we can trust You. Sometimes it's difficult, Lord, when we look in this world and where we come from, Lord. But we know based on the cross of Jesus, we can trust You with everything that we have, everything that we are. And Lord, that's why we say, Holy Spirit, come and bring a fragrance of Jesus here today. Set us free, Lord, so that we can be more Christ-like, that we can also represent You in the earth. And we thank You for Your love that is unconditional. Thank You for Your love that is unchanging. And Lord, we ask that You reveal that love to us today in Jesus' name. Amen. When you say amen, it means I agree with that prayer. Okay? Let that be. Do you know, the powerful thing, when we even share testimonies, the root word of your testimony means, "Lord, do it again in my life." And it is amazing, because you can deny the Word of God, but you cannot deny the Word that has made flesh in somebody's life. When God has done something in your life, and that's why we must share. That's why we must open up our hearts. And I want us to read here in Mark chapter 5, story that we've probably read and heard many times. And In verse 25, we can start from verse 24, Mark chapter 5, verse 24. So Jesus went with him. Unfortunately, it's not on the screen, because half of my laptop is in South Africa, the other half is in Ireland somewhere, and everything, I feel like I've lost everything all over the place. I've been traveling a little bit, so stuff stayed behind. But that's why we can bring our Bibles to church. I mean, just keep your Bible, and then you can be ready for eternity. Okay, so verse 24. So Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. I love what it says. Yeah. Do you know that people, when they came to Christ, when Jesus was walking on the face of the earth, he didn't judge people. He didn't say bad stuff about them or anything. People really loved Jesus, and especially sinners. People that didn't know and have religion in their lives. People that were just ordinary people walking on the streets, they loved Jesus because there's something attractive about the love of Jesus. There's something about that man that's different than any other religion. You know, lots of religions, we have to do many things to get to God. We have to do it. The responsibility is on you, if you in a different religion, to try and connect with a God up there somewhere. It says you must have rules, you must have rituals, you must have do lots of things. Do the 10 steps and then maybe you're going to know salvation. But the most amazing thing is when you and I open up our hearts, God begins to do something to show us what real relationship with Christ is like. There's a freedom in that relationship. Would you agree with me? Turn to somebody next to you and say, "You're looking good this morning." Are you all good? Okay, great. So here we see this picture of Jesus. Can you all hear me? Everything is fine with the sound. Okay, here we see this picture of Jesus walking, and the people came so close that everybody just wanted to be with him. Everybody just liked him. Some people hated him, we must say that, because sometimes, you know, he's gonna say stuff concerning the truth that you're not going to like, because we need to change when he says that stuff. And so, yeah, we see them thronging Jesus. Now, a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. And she spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. And when she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment, for she said, "If only I might touch his clothes, I shall be made well." And immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" But his disciples said to him, "You see the multitude thronging you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Be healed of your affliction." It's a beautiful story. How many of you have read this story before? Most of us. It's a very ordinary story, but it's very profound when we talk about it. And what I want to talk about this morning is a hunger for God and a thirst for righteousness. You know, Scripture says those who are hungry, they will be fed. Those who are thirsty for him, they will find him. If we seek him with all of our hearts, we will find him, Scripture says. If we ask, if we knock, if we seek, we will find. The onus and the responsibility is really on you and I to begin seeking and knocking. Because sometimes we think, well, I'm just going to have an ordinary life, or I'm just going to pretend, or I'm just going to go through life just as normal. But you know, when you follow Jesus, there's going to be supernatural things that happen in your life. There's not a spiritual world and a natural world. There is one world. It's everything is spiritual. And that is what I love about the cultures that I come from in Africa. And some of you may come from there. But especially the black cultures. Everything is spiritual first. There's not a natural world. We call it dualism. Everything is spiritual. So when you talk to people about miracles and things in Africa, and I've been up to Sudan recently, 3 weeks ago, and in Malawi 2 weeks ago, and going up north a little bit more even. The most amazing things, people are so receptive when you talk to them about spiritual things. unfortunately, many times in the Western world, we've become so intellectual that we try to figure out God. But the thing is, with you and I, our brains are too small to try and figure out God. Let me tell you a story. I have a pastor friend in Malawi. And he said for years he prayed to hear God's voice audibly. How many of you have prayed that before? I've prayed that many times. I said, God, if you could only speak to me audibly, then it would be great. Because then things are going to happen, yeah? And that was what he was praying. His name is Pastor Henry. And Pastor Henry was praying. And one morning he woke up early to spend time with God. And then he said, he heard a voice, Henry, calling him. And he realized this is not a normal voice. Because the moment after that voice called him, he said electricity went through his body. It came from the top right through his body. It struck him, went straight through. Kabang, he said. Then the voice came again. Henry, he said, electricity went through him again, from top to bottom. After the second time, he was on the ground, he said. He was lying there on the ground. Then the voice came to him the third time again. And all God said was, Henry. And he said, it felt like electricity go all over through him, right through. He said, he was so shocked, he thought he was going to die. He felt it was like everything inside of him is burning, everything, and he thought he's going to die now. Because then the presence of God came into his room. And he was lying there. He said he was in a semi-coma for 3 days. They had to take him into his room. People came to visit him, sick people, and they got healed instantly as they walked into the room. But he was almost passed out lying in the room on the bed. After 3 days, he had enough strength to stand up. And then he said, he prayed one prayer. He said, Lord, please, never speak to me audibly again. And he's a real man of God, but he says, don't pray vain prayers, he said. Because if God begins to show himself and manifest his presence in our lives, we will sometimes die. There's a side of God that is scary. Scripture says we must consider the love and the severity of God. There's a side of God, if you're on the wrong side of God, that can kill you. And that's something that we don't always understand. But God is too big for our minds. God is too big for your mind. And that's why we must stop trying to figure him out. But he's given us his word so that we can understand him and that we can know him. And that knowing comes from a place of having a relationship with him where he speaks to you and where he reveals his heart to you. And that's why looking at Jesus reflects God's heart. Knowing Jesus reflects the Father's heart. Because he's not going to kill you. But it's just important that we have the fear of God in our lives concerning who this God is. Now here we read a story of a lady that wanted to experience God, but she had lots of trouble. And if you understand the Jewish culture, you'll know that if you were a woman like that, that had a flow of blood for so many years, you were unclean automatically, meaning that you could not go out in public. The moment when you would go out in public and you would touch somebody else, that person would be unclean. So it was a golden rule of society. Don't go out. And especially if you go out in public, what you had to do is you had to shout out loud. You had to say, I am unclean. I am unclean. You had to do it 3 times. If you did not do that and you would touch somebody else, then many times they could stone you if they found out that you touched somebody without screaming, I'm unclean. So this story is not just an ordinary story. This is not just about a lady going shopping, going down and doing her own little thing there. And then, oh, by the way, Jesus is passing by. And we're going to try to just say, hey, Jesus, dude, come here. Let's do something together. This lady had some great challenges. And between getting out of her house and reaching Jesus, she had to conquer death. She had to go over a divide. She had to put real faith. She had to put her life on the line to be able to reach Jesus. And so we see this story, this beautiful story of how this people, this crowd was pressing against Jesus. And everybody was like thronging him. They're trying to get to him. They're talking to him. There's a great thing happening. And here comes this lady. And she's figured out one thing. Scripture says she didn't scream out, "I'm unclean." So she puts her life at risk by going to Jesus. Some people say that she literally went down on her knees and had to crawl through the crowd to get to Jesus. She had to touch people to get to him. So that would mean that she would make them unclean in the process. But she knew that if she would touch him, something is going to happen. If it doesn't happen, she's going to die. Because then there's going to be a whole crowd that's going to stone her right there. I'm talking about being hungry and thirsty for God. About reaching out to the real Jesus. And so going through this crowd, coming to him, Scripture says she touches the hem of his garment. Beautiful picture. And the hem of a garment is very simply was, there were these like almost tassels. Is that the right word in English? That was hanging around the, sorry? Tassels. Tassels. Almost there. Okay. Tassels, okay? Hanging on the hem of his garment, which represented the word of God. Every rabbi that would use a garment like that, everybody knew that stood for the word of God. So that was a specific. She didn't touch his shoulders or touch him or scream out to him. She went for something specific. Because the word of God is always truth. Okay? I always use this example. I used it this morning in the other service as well. What is your name? Nadine. Yo, Nadine, you've got a beautiful name. Can you quickly stand up? I want to use you as an example. Not to embarrass you. You've got a beautiful dress on, Nadine. Thank you. But if I come here today and I say to Nadine, "Nadine, you have got a beautiful yellow dress on," then all of you would think, he's either very colorblind or he's a liar. Would you agree with me? Because if I say she's got a beautiful yellow dress on, you think, "Oh, yeah, no, no. Something is wrong with these people from Africa." But you know, I would be a liar if I say that. But if Jesus would walk into this room, and he is here this morning, and he would say to Nadine, "Nadine, you've got a beautiful yellow dress on. Do you know, this dress would turn yellow the moment when he says it." Why? Because Jesus is truth. And truth is always higher than the facts or the things that we see. Thank you, Nadine. You have got a beautiful dress on, okay? Because do you know what? When God speaks life into your life, you change. Your circumstances will change around you. Things happen every moment. And that is what life with Christ is about. You know, sometimes God tells me to do weird stuff. And I want to challenge us because we love to be in control of our lives. And then we think sometimes if I'm a Christian, well, I'm in control, so I my life is neatly planned, everything is right, everything is good. Okay, Lord, I've got my schedule worked out, but I will also fit you into my schedule somewhere. So yeah, I've got an hour maybe for you for small group, and then I've got an hour for you on Sunday for church, and yes, I'll do a little bit of quiet time because it's important that I get disciplined and all this stuff. And sometimes we don't realize, I'm just speaking honestly, because this is where God is challenging me. We love to have control over our lives. And it's difficult for us to trust and just to let go. I've got a guy working with me in the office about 4 weeks ago. He challenged me on this. He said, "Do you really trust God?" He's like a student studying accounting. And he said, "Do you really trust God?" I said, "Yes, I do." He says, "Prove to me." And then he asked me a question. He said, "If you are in a court of law and you are being accused of being a Christian, would the opposition have enough evidence to sentence you to jail? Would there be enough evidence against you that you are a witness of Jesus Christ?" And I was thinking, okay, that makes me think. I hope it does for you as well, okay? But he said to me, "Let's ask God to do some extraordinary things. just in your normal way of life. And I said, okay, shop. You know the shop? Shop, let's go for it. So he said, okay, he's a student. He said, I'm going to trust God, because his mother would pack him nice meals. Every weekend we'd go home, pack him nice meals, and then he'll put it all in the fridge, and then he'll take the dirty stuff back to her so that she can wash it over the weekend. He doesn't even wash the plates. Just the plates like that he puts in the fridge, you know? So she would have all the meals worked out for the whole week. So he said to his mother that weekend, he said, okay, Mom, no food for me this week. No, and I'm not going to do shopping. I don't want any money. I believe God said to me this week, I must trust him. I must go without any food because I must let him provide for me, because that's specifically what he wants for me for this week. Do you know what? Monday, he had 3 invitations for lunch, and somebody brought him a pizza for dinner. On Tuesday, he had 7 invitations for lunch. He didn't tell anybody about it. 7 invitations for lunch, and somebody brought him KFC, Kentucky Fried Chicken. But Wednesday, he told me the story, and I said to him, okay, you must trust God for vegetables at least, because you can't go on like you're going. That whole week, he had so many invitations of friends or people, just random people, bringing him food. And at the end of the week, he said to me, okay, now, how are you trusting God? So even just being here this morning is a miracle for me, because I was flying to Ireland, and the Lord said to me, my plane is booked, air ticket has been booked here, and I stayed with people, but I mustn't tell anybody about the fact that I need to fly out this morning to London, because he's going to provide for me. So I made no arrangements. And I didn't tell France and Yaku and David that before the time. I said, okay, God, I need to get from Moira in Ireland to Belfast this morning at 4:45. I need to drive to fly out to London, and I haven't got a clue how I'm going to do that. My ticket has been booked, but to get to the airport and to get somebody to wake up that. So do you know what? Now for 2 days I've been walking around, and I don't tell anybody about it. All I'm thinking, because they thought, the people that I went with, they thought that I'm going to fly out this afternoon. And I didn't tell him because God said specifically that's what I must do. So now I am beginning to stress. First, what happens is you stress. For the first day, you just stress. And stress, there's nothing like stress. Stress is stress. You get anxious, you panic, you sweat, you do all that stuff. Okay? I went through the whole process. Then you say, okay, Lord, I trust you, but Lord, maybe I didn't hear you. Then you go back on, did you really hear God? Huh? Have you, some of you experienced that? I went through the whole process. Yesterday at 12 o'clock, we moved to another place where we stayed. This random guy comes up to me, says, do you know what? I'm staying in the same building than you. And we started to chat, and just on the side he said, oh, I'm flying out tomorrow morning to London, 7:15 on Aer Lingus. Just said it, by the way, same flight that I'm on. He's got everything worked out and a space for me in his car. So then I go, thank you, Jesus. Forgive my unbelief. The reason why I'm telling that story is sometimes we plan our lives so well that there's no room for God to move. Hello. Can I tell you another story like that? Just that happened 2 weeks ago. I like to tell recent stories, not stories that happened 3 years ago. The same with our holiday. I've got a wife and 3 kids, 2 girls and a boy. And 3 months ago, the Lord said to me, I must plan and book a holiday for 2 weeks. And he gave me specific dates in the beginning of July, from the 4th of July till about the 18th of July. And then the Holy Spirit said to me specifically that I must plan for accommodation arrangements for the 2nd week, but not for the 1st week. It's in Natal, it's a province in South Africa. So I booked the tickets and I thought, okay, this is it. I knew some people, I phoned everybody that I knew, and I said, and I booked the 2nd week for accommodation. But the Lord said specifically, and this is very important, it's about the will of God. It's about trusting God, not trying to do what somebody else does, but what is God saying to you at the moment? What are you supposed to be obedient to right now? Because God can only take you as far as your last step of obedience. And I love what John Bevere says. He says, obedience is the highest form of worship. Because to do God's will is the most important thing in your life. And so, now I've got this first week open and I'm thinking, oh, and the days go by and the weeks start to go by. And I think again, maybe I've missed God. But you know, without faith, it is impossible to please God. How many of you want to please God? I trust all of us. Without faith, you cannot please God. We have got a walk of faith. And that means we don't walk by what we see, we walk by faith, Scripture says. And faith comes by hearing the Word of God, not just the written Word, but the spoken Word of God, God's revelation Word to you right now. Our life is a life of faith. Hello? That's the one thing that Jesus challenged His disciples more than with everything else. He said, why have you got so little faith? He said, if you've got faith as a mustard seed, have you seen a mustard seed? A mustard seed is this massive, small, little seed. You actually have to use a telescope to see it. Huh? What is not a telescope, a stethoscope or whatever. A stethoscope is a doctor thing. You're doctors, eh? That scope thing, okay? You must have a different scope, okay? You know what I'm talking about. Thank you for that. But so a mustard seed is very small. It says if your faith is as like that, you can move a mountain. But so, yeah, I've got this first week open. And I'm beginning to stress. And I'm beginning to say, God, what are you doing? You are stressing me out. I'm going to be so stressed by the time I get to a holiday that I'm going to need to have 3 holidays, you know. And just when I got to the point of almost dying, you know. Lord, why are you late? You know, how many of you sometimes feel God is late? No, God is never late, you know. It's just He's waiting for us to get into position. Okay? So, yeah, I'm saying, and just then what happened is I just surrendered. I said, okay, God, this is it. I'm dying. I'm finished. You take control. The moment when I just became honest with God, the next day I got a phone call. A guy that's not in our church phoned me and he said, I felt something very strange yesterday. I have got, now, remember I booked the tickets to Natal. He said, I've got timeshare in Umhlanga Rocks in Natal in Durban. Now, I haven't got a car, but Umhlanga Rocks is 5 kilometers away from the airport. It's just around the corner from the airport in Natal. I've got timeshare for a week from the 4th of July to the 11th of July this year. And I just felt God said, I must give it to you and your family. Now, what is the chance? Coincidence? Has it occurred to you that nothing occurs to God? Hello? I'm going to say that slowly again. Has it occurred to you that nothing occurs to God? There is absolutely, if you have to have a mathematical working out revelation of what is the chances that somebody that you don't know phones you with the same week that God told you to keep open, that you booked 3 months in advance, in a specific province, 5 kilometers away from the place where you're going to land with your airplane. What are the chances? Almost zero. Would you agree with me? But you know, that is the God that we serve, a God that is real. It's not a God out there, a theological God that we must try. No, it's a God that really knows what's going on in your life, Nadine. He knows every thought. He knows every fear. He knows everything. And He wants to be intimately involved. And you know, this is something that this lady understood when she came to Jesus. And I love what Scripture says what happened to her. The moment when she touched Him, Jesus stops the bus. She gets healed, but the moment He stops and He turns around and He says, who's touched me? And Scripture says that something, He didn't say just healing flowed out of Jesus. It says virtue. Virtue. Life. Because if you really read the story, you'll recognize that only later in the story does Jesus say, you are healed of your affliction. Because that first touch was not a touch for physical healing. It was more. She received much more. She received virtue. She was physically healed as well, yes. But something flowed from Jesus. The moment when we touch Jesus, our lives change. The moment when we come into contact with Him and His real presence, His manifest presence in our lives change. Because He begins to speak truth. He begins to release Himself into our lives and through our lives, and then we change. Because you cannot not change when you experience God. And I've got good news. In your relationship with God, there's going to be lots of change. The best news is that God is not going to change. Guess who's the change? The ones that's going to change? You and me. We need to change all the time. But the most amazing thing is God is not looking for perfection. God is just looking for your heart. And as long as we've got pride in our heart and there's stuff that we want to be in control and we are the man of power for the hour and we want to tell God what to do, do you know what? God cannot be God in our lives. Have you read scripture? It says that Jesus could not do many miracles in Nazareth because of the unbelief. Because what has happened, they boxed God in and said, okay, God, you must just be out there. You're not really the Messiah. You cannot really heal. You cannot really set me free because you're just an ordinary man. And that's why Jesus would so many times come to his disciples and say, but who do you say that I am? First, he would say, who do the people say that I am? When you're here in London, in Tooting, you'll see lots of people will say lots of different stuff of who this Jesus is. No, he's just another God. No, it's not. He's not real. He doesn't do healings and miracles anymore. No. People have got lots of opinions of Jesus. But then Jesus turns in Matthew chapter 16, he turns to Peter and he says, but who do you say that I am? And then Peter says to Jesus, Jesus, you are the Christ, you're the Son of the living God. And then I love what Jesus says. He says to him, ha, flesh and blood cannot reveal this to you. Your understanding cannot reveal this to you. People cannot reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven has given you this revelation. And on this revelation, I'm going to build my church. And the gates of hell, of Hades, shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom, he says. Because you're going to be able to unlock even cities and nations when you understand who I am. Hello. That is a good place to say amen.
Amen.
Amen. You see, he is the Christ. And that's what God is waiting. If you begin to speak truth, and that's why worship is so important. When we say who God is over our lives, he becomes that. But our perception will either allow God to be who he is, or he cannot do that. That means we need to get out of our boxes. We need to say, God, increase my faith. I want to trust you. It starts with a real honesty, but then a believing in Scripture. So many people have walked away from Scripture. And when I read Scripture, I see that Jesus healed people, Jesus delivered people, Jesus made people nobodies, somebodies. Jesus turned lives around every day. There was a supernatural lifestyle of encountering God and meeting with Him and the manifest presence of God being with Jesus. Now we on the other side of the cross, we've got so much more. Scripture says he's given you everything that pertains to life and godliness in Jesus Christ. Everything that pertains to life and to godliness. You've got it. It's like a massive treasure chest. It's there. Everything is there. You just need to open it up and start to use it. Hello. There's a story of this man that they found. I don't know in which city. I think it was New York. They found him dead as a beggar on the streets. And then they found these papers on him and they started to trace him and they realized, but he's a man that has inherited millions of dollars. He had all this stuff on him, but he had to go to the bank. He just had to say, here am I. Give to me my inheritance. But he didn't, because he was ignorant of what was actually available. He died a beggar. So many Christians today are living a beggar's life. I'm going to say something not controversial, but I'm going to say something that you must think about a little bit. Okay, are you ready? Maybe you've thought about the other stuff as well. I hope so. He says, sometimes we pray to God as if we have more mercy than God. Hello? Sometimes we pray to God as if we want people more that people get healed than what God wants. So we think we need to twist God's arm. We need to persuade Him to heal, or we need to persuade Him to intervene in our families. And then we come to dictate to God. We tell Him, oh Lord. But you know, that's the biggest hogwash. Because if you read Scripture, God's desire to heal and to save and to deliver is much more than your and my desire. The issue is just very simply, it's an issue of trust. An issue of being honest and an issue of faith. Simple as that. Surrendering to the call of God on your life. And I want to tell you this morning, in very simple terms, that God has not called you to be an ordinary person. Just to go through life and exist and survive. He has called us to overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. But what is your testimony? What is God doing in your life? Have you got a testimony? If you haven't, then say, God, I want a testimony. You know, I can stand here today and undeniably say that God heals and delivers. Why? Because He's done it in my life. I went to school a year later because I stuttered. I couldn't speak a proper sentence, one sentence in full. So I had to go to school when I was only 7 years old and not five. But Jesus walked into my life. And Jesus healed me. He saved me. But you know, I had to come to a place on the 4th of April 1989 when I realized I was drowning. Have you ever seen a drowning person? Have you seen a drowning person? I've seen somebody drown one day. It was not a good sight because they go under. They say if you're a lifeguard and you swim out to that person that's busy drowning, you first throw the life buoy to them. Give them an object to cling onto. Otherwise, they'll drag you under because they'll do anything possible to stay alive. Have you seen a drowning person floating around, going under and say, goodbye, Mom. Goodbye. Drinking a pineapple drink, feeling good about themselves. Now, people stress. People go like panicking. They really like... They lose their life right there. Why? Because they realize they need a Savior. Somebody must come to save them right now. Talking about a hunger and a thirst for God. How hungry are you for the real Jesus? Because a drowning person is very, very hungry and thirsty to stay alive. And they'll do anything possible to say, I need a Savior. How desperate are you for God today? That's my question. I was desperate for Jesus. Because I said to Him, Lord, I've tried to commit suicide twice and I couldn't get it right. Lord, I need Your life in my life. I need virtue to come into me. I don't just need physical healing. I need a spiritual transformation in my life. And I'm desperate for You, Jesus. 4th of April, 1989, that's when I knelt down before a bed with one of my teachers and I said to him, the Jesus that you know and the Jesus that I know is not the same Jesus. I want that Jesus. And He came into my life. He transformed my life. I could, where I stand today, I could have never dreamt the things that I've seen God do. But it's the same Jesus of Scripture. The same Jesus that still raises the dead. If you don't believe it, last year, God raised somebody from the dead. I saw it. The guy was dead, came alive. I was more gobsmacked than anybody else. I was standing there, I was speechless. Because I wanted to go and call the ambulance and all of that stuff at a trance party. There was people drugged out and they did lots of stuff. And then God raised this guy, Sebastian. Raised him to life. Well, maybe you think he wasn't dead. He was dead. If you put your hand on somebody's mouth, where's the doctors in the place? For 3 minutes, they're going to be dead if they were not dead. Because they cannot breathe for 3 minutes, you know. There was no pulse, there was no nothing, and God raised that man from the dead. I was so shocked. But then I realized, who must change? Me. And I want to tell you that Jesus is here today. And He's not a little God somewhere trying to do something. He is real. But what are you risking? And what are you putting on the line? How desperate are you, like this woman was, to reach out to that God? To touch the hem of His garment? Say, doesn't matter what's going to happen, I need him. And I'll put my life on the line. You see, it's an issue of trust and it's an issue of control. Who's in control? And the Church of Jesus Christ is beginning to go into two directions. Some that are just in their ritual, doing stuff, going on with their lives and saying, oh, Jesus, come and help me. Jesus, come and do something for me because I'm studying hard for exams now. You must help me. Give me some peace. Some people that are just surviving and surviving. But I tell you, there's a group of believers, and I believe that you're part of that, where we're standing up and we're beginning to say to God, God, out of the box, no more boxes. We want real, raw Jesus. When I talk about raw, I talk about real, authentic worship. That's my definition for raw Jesus. Real, authentic worship. Where everything we do in this life is for one purpose, and that is to worship Him, to make His name glorious. Your studies, your work, everything you do, it's worship unto Him. It's about a surrendering of your heart. It's about yielding to that King of Kings and say, God, you have touched my life. Now freely I have received, freely I give it away. Can I tell you another story? Are you ready? What's our time? I'm really enjoying this. We're going to get to the scripture now. No, it's almost 1 o'clock. Are you hungry? No, not yet. You must say, a good answer would have been, I'm hungry for the Word of God. You should have said, my food is to do the will of my Father. That was a good answer. Okay, great stuff. You know, there's a guy, Will Hart, that I met last year. And it's the most amazing thing. He said he was a Druid. What happened is one day he came into this church. It was sort of in the basement at the bottom. And he was wearing his black and all of his stuff. And everybody thought he was weird. And he said he went to sit right at it wasn't a big church. Was sitting right at the back there and with all of his stuff, and he was thinking, and there were two guys standing at the door. They were obviously the ushers, but he thought they were bouncers. So he thought, no, there's no way that he can get out again, so he must obviously sit through this thing, what's going to happen here. Because he just sort of by chance happened to be there in that service. So he was sitting at the back, and he said there was this old man coming up, and the man walked up, and the man stood there. And he said the man was really old and he had a very big nose. And he was like fascinated with this man's nose. So the man started to preach and they sang a couple of songs and the man preached and he said, but it was a huge nose, he said. That was the only thing he focused on the whole time when this man was talking. He said, even, I don't know if you know, remember this old movie Jaws of the sharks? You know that, da da da. He said the Jaws music started to play because all he started to imagine was this man lying in the bathtub with this massive nose, you know, going through the water and just Jaws playing, you know. So that was like, that was his imagination. So he was really not listening to what the guy was saying. He said just the Jaws music, you know. And but in any case, so here he's sitting and this man is obviously preaching his heart out, but he's just thinking about the nose. So he says at the end, this man tells people and says, if you want to experience God, if you want a touch from Jesus, won't you stand up and come and stand here in front? He said he didn't even cross his mind to stand up. He didn't even think about it. He was still thinking about just sitting right there in the chair. Let's see. But he says till today he doesn't know how it happened, but the next moment he was standing right in front. Something supernaturally drew him from the chair to come and stand right in front. And he said, there he stood. He didn't have a clue. All he knew was him and the man with the nose. And he said, this old uncle came up walking. And the man came close to him and just started to pray and say, Lord, touch him. And the moment when something, he said, something overpowered him, something overwhelmed him, and he fell down. Doesn't know, it felt like something pressed him down. The man didn't touch him physically, just something like a force, he said, pressed him down and pushed him down. The next moment, he just fell kadoof. He was lying there on the floor. He said for about 20 minutes, he was just lying there. He didn't know what was happening. He didn't have a clue. And then after 20 minutes, this old man came walking up and kicked him in the side and said, son, what are you doing lying there on the carpet? He says, I can't get up. He says, get up. There's some work to be done. And then he got up. And there was another guy standing, he says, at the speaker. But he didn't make an altar call or prayer of salvation and committed his life and made lots of confessions. He says, he didn't have clues. He just knew God was in this thing somewhere and God touched him. So this old man took him to the other side, and there was another man standing at the speaker. And he said to him, okay, what you have received, give it to him. And he thought, well, how on earth? And he thought, okay, I don't know what it is, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to just walk over to him and I'm going to do that thing. And all I know is the name of Jesus. So he stood there and he said, Jesus. And the next moment that man fell over, kadoosh, just like what has happened to him. He said he got so shocked that he also fell over again, gish. There wasn't a force pressing him, he just somehow fell because he said it was just nice to fall, you know. That guy's name is Will Hart. He says, for the last 15 years, that's all he's been knowing. Wherever he goes, he lays hands on people and they fall and they get healed and they get delivered. He doesn't pray fancy prayers for them, but one day he received something from Jesus and he learned to give it away. Scripture says, freely you have received, now freely give. You see, the devil wants you to focus only on the negative stuff, the stuff that you don't have. Be perfect. Oh, you're full of this, you're full of that. Oh, you're never going to make it. You're not a pastor. How can you pray? No, no, no. What have you received from Christ? Just give it away. Scripture says that when you go into a house, you've got the ability to leave your peace in that house. And if they don't receive you, then walk away and shake off the dust and find another house where somebody celebrates you. But you have got the power to release the fullness of God in people's lives. Why? Because the same Spirit that rose Christ from the dead quickens you, lives inside of you. And it's not like us, it's just Jesus leaking through us. You must start leaking Jesus to the world out there. And the most amazing thing is when we start to see Him and we start to believe Him for what He says He is and who He says He is, that Jesus can be that. Why? Because there's somebody standing up in London, somebody in Tooting saying, well, there is a Christ that still heals. There is somebody that's powerful that can still change my family's life in a day. There is a Christ. He is the anointed one. He's the Savior of the world. He's the healer. And what happens in my heart is going to start to flow through to my family and to my nation. Have you read Scripture? Last Scripture. Are you with me? Just shake somebody next to you and say, you're still looking good today. Do you know the answer for this nation and the trouble in this nation is very simple. The answer is you and what God does in your heart. 2 Chronicles 7 verse 14 says it. Matthew 10 verse 8. Almost there. Another scripture. Start with the Old Testament. That was before the New. 2 Chronicles 7 verse 14 says, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Repent. A couple of things that we need to do. Then I will come in and heal their land. You see, the healing of this nation is what happens in your heart. How are you seeking God? How hungry and thirsty is the church of God for God? Because if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will come in and I will heal their land. So what is going on in your heart this morning? Is Christ real? There it says, it's so beautiful. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sins, and I will heal their land. Doesn't say, maybe I will consider whether the land is good enough to be healed. No. See, it doesn't matter what happens in that land if my people would turn their hearts to me. The reason why, I'm going to say something that's a bit hard on the ear. The reason why the nation of South Africa is in a mess is because the church in South Africa is in a mess. And the church's heart is not towards God. It's not seeking God. We're not humbling ourselves. The reason why the nation of England, you fill in that same sentence with what you want to fill it in with. Let me not be the judge. You judge it. You think the nation is fine, doesn't need a healing, and that's great. All I know, the place where I come from and the continent that I come from, and I've traveled a lot from South Africa to Sudan, Egypt, Rwanda, Nigeria. I've been in all the, basically almost all the nations in Africa. And I look at a people and the state of the church. And then you go to a nation like Uganda, and you see the church being rising up, the church standing up, seeking God, repenting of their sins. And then you see the HIV percentage dropping in the nation. People seeking God, God heals the land. So what's happening in your heart? It starts right here this morning. What's going on in your heart? Are you hungry and you're thirsty for that God? Because I read of a woman that was very thirsty for God. And she did not just find healing, she found virtue. She found restoration. So that God could stand up and He could use her as a trophy to the world and say to the world, look what I can do through one human. See how I can change a life for eternity. And we've been reading that story many years, and we will still read it till the coming of Jesus, of a woman that had faith and trust, but she risked something. What are you willing to risk? Because it's massive. Or do you just want to be comfortable? That's my challenge to you this morning. Gibby, if you can come up. We're going to just spend a moment. Maybe more than one moment. Just coming this morning and bringing our hearts to God. You don't need to feel under any obligation. But as He's coming, I want to say to you one thing. If you are going to eat junk food, you will create an appetite for junk food in your life. If you are going to be hungry, and you're going to start to eat a good balanced diet in the natural.